Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Okay, so I just had a really good conversation about this, and I kind of feel like if you're okay with it, I want to have another conversation about this. So you said that you would be interested in dating somebody with a porn past. So if you feel comfortable, you know, kind of talking about like what that would look like for you, like how would you handle that conversations, you know, like what would that entail for you as a woman?
Yeah. And I think the reason that I gave that answer is that we all have things in our past and we all have struggles. And so I don't want to rule someone out that could be an amazing person and an amazing partner that just got caught up in something that they shouldn't have. And so to me, as long as they are working on it and moving forward and, you know, turning to God and being open and honest with themselves and with me about what's going on, then I think they still have amazing potential. And, you know, God can use anybody, no matter what we've been through, to really make a difference in the world. So, yeah, I would just want open conversation and just being honest about where we are. Like, I don't want to, you know, be like mothering and being like, what did you, have you been keeping up with everything, you know? But just being honest and checking in about it every now and then, you know?
Yeah. And that's a great point, that the not being mothering, you know,
because you have to trust them as well, that that they are being honest and that they're turning to God and they're doing everything they can, setting up boundaries to not fall back into that addiction.
Yes. Amen. And like that, because again, you said we all have our things. And so, you know I have my stuff that I would want to be able to discuss. Right. And to be able to have some level of accountability, but also I would still have like women accountability partners. Right. You know, but like, if we're talking like in a marriage, you know, you still need to be able to hold your partner to a certain level of accountability. That's my opinion. You know? And so like, I feel like that is one of the best parts of being in a marriage relationship is like being able to walk that path together, you know, with whatever the struggles are. And yeah, because at any point, you know, you don't know who you're going to come across that your testimony could speak to.
Yes.
You
know? Well, yeah. And I feel like the whole point of marriage is that someone that is going to know you better than anybody else on this planet. And you're supposed to push each other and help each other grow. And you also do see when if you're having a good, solid relationship, you see when that person is struggling and starting to go back into unhealthy patterns. And, it, you know, it's supposed to mirror our relationship with God, and that, you know, God pushes us to be better and to grow and to get past things. And I think marriage is supposed to do a lot of the same.
Yeah, I would agree. Amen.
That's the goal anyways.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously that is the goal. That doesn't always happen because we're all human, you know, but I even think that there's some aspects of like even relationships as far as friendships that, because we are the body, right? Like, so we're supposed to be representing Christ's love in all of that. Right. So I feel like I try and do, you know, that with even my girlfriends, like how am I going to be honoring these girlfriend friendships, you know, and like, what does that look like with that? But then also how can I translate that into possibly a future, like, relationship with my husband?
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
I've told many people that my best friend and I's relationship has taught both of us so much more about marriage than we thought it would ever teach us, because of just how polar opposite we are, but also similar enough that, you know, we make it work. But it's just this beautiful testimony of forgiveness, grace, you know, and all those things that you are going to need in a future marriage.
Yes. My best friend and I are the same way.
Oh, really?
We've gotten to a place that we know that there's safety there and that we love and care enough about each other to tell the truth and to tell it with love, that even when it's going to hurt or it's going to be convicting, it's like, okay, but yeah, I know it's safe if it's coming from you. And and so I do. I'm like, that's what I want in marriage, is that kind of love and safety that I have with my best friend.
Yeah, exactly. And we hear that you want to marry your best friend, right? Which is accurate, though, like, because you want that same level of, I mean, there's different levels of intimacy, but you want that same level of friendship, level of intimacy with your future spouse. At least that's what I want.
Yeah. You want someone that's going to choose you no matter what they find out about you.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, we literally just told that to each other like a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'm so happy you chose me. And she was like, I'm happy you chose me too.
Absolutely. You know? How lucky are we that we have those friendships while we're waiting on marriage? Not that we want to get rid of those friendships when we have marriage.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think some of it is God kind of blesses you with people that are not only friends, but become your chosen family and just really help you through life.
Yep. Uh-huh. She and I have been friends for going on 16 years. And so it's like, that's a whole child's life right there, you know?
Yeah. My friend, I met her when I was 6 years old. So I'm 33 now. So we've got a pretty strong friendship, seen all the different stages of life.
Yep. Same. And I'm just like, it's crazy. You know, she's seen the breakups I've gone through. I've seen the breakups she's gone through. And it's just like, okay, you know, and then just different. And that's not just like romantic breakups. I mean, like friend breakups too, you know what I mean? And like, just to be able to kind of stick it out. We did have like a small period of time where we were not on point with each other, but it's okay. Again, that's what grace and forgiveness came in. And now we're just like, you're stuck with me no matter what. So your future person better figure it out, because I ain't going anywhere.
Absolutely. I've actually said, I was like, I need my future spouse to meet her and her husband before even like my parents, because a best friend does not approve, it's probably not going to happen.
Yep. Agreed. My bestie just started dating somebody and I'm like, he's lucky he approves. He's lucky I approve. But it's so funny. He asked us like recently, he's like, do I need to be worried like about our relationship? And I was like, nope. If you're okay with it, then we're fine. If you are not okay with it, then we're not fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we need to have a discussion.
Yeah.
You know.
Be worried.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, do I need to be worried? But he's also like a mutual friend. So we, you know, he's been around for a while, so I'm not really worried about him. But
yeah. You
know. It's just funny. I'm just like, you've known me as long as you've known her. Granted, you're closer to her than you are to me, but I've been around. Like, this isn't anything new. So I don't know why you're worried. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, you have something to worry about, because you hurt her. I'm going to hurt you, but.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
Other than that, just don't screw up and then we'll be fine. But anyway, that's so cool that that's how your bestie is too. So that's exciting.
Yes. It's a rarity to find that kind of friendship.
Yeah. Yep. It is. Have you heard the joke that where it goes, can somebody explain how Jesus kept 12 best friends in his 30s? You know, and I'm like, yes.
Exactly. The older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, one or two is fine. I'm good with that. Quality over quantity.
Yes, definitely. And I've realized, like, with the friendships that I do have, because everybody's at a different stage, right? But I've learned that although my best friend I will tell everything to at different points, sometimes I need to check in with somebody else. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's great to have that community, and it doesn't have to be huge.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, That was just kind of like a whole random tangent, but I loved it.
Yes. It wouldn't be a podcast with women if there wasn't a tangent.
Thank you. Can you say that again louder for the people in the back?
Yes. This is just how our brains work. So you got to get used to it. If you want a woman in your life, prepare for tangents.
Yep, that's just how we go. And that is exactly why I'm doing this podcast completely different than how Bob is doing it. So, you know, that's fine. It's just, I want the guys to be able to hear us talking. So,
yes.
I feel like that's better than, you know, just not. So, ooh, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations about the purity culture thing, but I liked your answer. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like boundaries are so important. So if you want to just kind of, let's just jump into it and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Culture. Yeah. So for me, I feel like purity culture, it was a good idea, but I don't think it was executed well. It was all about shaming and shaming and shaming, and sex is bad, and you shouldn't have sex, and you need to wait till marriage. And the meaning behind it was good, but they didn't give us the tools and the boundaries of how to do that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of left everyone with, okay, well, where's the line? What is allowed? What is not allowed? And then for a lot of people, it just made it that you, if you mess up at all, you just feel complete shame and like, I'm going to hell. What am I going to do now? How do I get back on the right track, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so important that now, especially for teenagers, that people explain that it's not about where the line is. And I heard, I don't remember where I heard this, but I heard this a couple weeks ago and it just really stuck with me. It's not about what's permissible. It's about living a holy life. Ooh. So if it's not holy, and it doesn't feel holy, we shouldn't be doing it. Mm. And I thought, I really wish someone told me that when I was 16 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there needs to be more open conversation and a safe place for teenagers to talk to their parents and say, I'm struggling with this. How do I set the boundaries? How do I go forward and live a pure life? And how do I meet those goals? And then if they do mess up, we need grace and to help them get back on track and help them figure out how to go forward and not just feel like they've ruined their whole life if they messed up a little bit, you know? Because I don't think that's what Jesus would be saying to everyone. He wouldn't condemn them because they crossed a line, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just my thoughts on 90s purity culture.
Well, those were amazing thoughts.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I love that though, because, you know, if you think about the gospel, right, and you look at how Jesus treated Mary Magdalene and how he treated Peter, how, you know, like those two in particular probably stick out more than the others, just because of like her past, right? And then the fact that Peter just up was like, I don't know him. You know what I mean? Like that whole process of like Jesus sitting down with Peter and literally asking the same question three times, because it was his, that was his promise of redemption, right? Like you had to walk him through, you denied me three times, and so I'm going to ask you three times, right? And that whole, it's just beautiful. I love that he didn't condemn Peter at all. You know, and obviously Peter was frustrated and was like, why are you asking me a third time? You know, right? Paraphrasing people. But you know what I mean? But the beauty, it's just so beautiful to look at it from that perspective and just see what Jesus was really doing, you know, and showing Peter that, yes, you literally denied me three times after you promised that you wouldn't, but I'm going to step by step bring you back to this, because we as in the Trinity, right? I was going to say God the Father and him, you know, obviously the Holy Spirit too, but the, you know, they had a plan for Peter's life, and you know, he couldn't have gotten to that place and done everything that he did without Jesus sitting him down by the fire and having a conversation and, you know, asking, do you love me? Mm-hmm. And just like, that's such a simple question, you know, but it has such weight to it. So it does. That was just a random tangent.
That's the theme. That's the theme of the podcast. It's funny.
It is. But it was so funny because I'm like, I don't even know where I'm going with this point, but I'm like, God, just bring it out. So
yeah.
But anyway, I love the way that that is represented. And as far as like when you're looking at purity culture or people's pasts and stuff like that, it's like if we are actually believing what we're saying, then why aren't we doing the same things for these other people, like believers, like, you know, brothers and sisters, because that's really what it is. Yes, obviously we want a husband, but he's still your brother in Christ before anything else. So why can't you treat him that way?
Absolutely.
I'll get off the soapbox on that one.
Sometimes the soapbox is needed.
You know, it is. But anyway, like, I kind of want to touch on your struggle for dating currently, because this is my struggle too, of finding men with the same level of conviction. And so, yeah, if you want to just kind of talk about that, whatever you want to share, you know. Go for it.
Yeah, it's definitely been a struggle. And sometimes it feels like there just aren't any men out there who have the same conviction to wait until marriage. And it's been a learning process for me to stand up for myself and to say, you know, even though I want a relationship and I eventually want marriage, I shouldn't settle for someone who doesn't share those convictions. I mean, even just a couple of months ago, I started talking to a guy and I brought up that I wanted to wait until marriage. And he said, oh, that's fine. His words were, I'm a sexual person, but I have self-control. And I thought, OK, that's not going to work because that means I have to hold the boundaries and I have to be the one that reminds you we're not doing these things. And that should be something that we work towards together and that we're both holding the boundaries and we're both following whatever rules we put in place that helps us stay pure and holy. And so that's just been a really tough thing because it's not just, you think it's just going to be non-Christians who are that way, but it's not. There's a lot of Christian men that aren't walking that way. And that's not dissing Christian men. I'm sure there are lots of Christian women not walking that way as well. But for me, it's just so important that I find someone who shares that same conviction. And, you know, I love my life as it is. And I've said, I don't want to disrupt that until I find someone that makes my life better. So there's no settling. I want someone who is, you know, running after God as hard as I am and cares about these things. And until then, I'll stay single.
Yeah. Amen. If I have to have the conversation about waiting like too many more times, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yes. It's so disappointing because you'll be like, oh, this is a Christian man. And then I even had a conversation recently with a guy that he was like, oh, I'll wait till marriage. But then started being like, but we can do this, 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 and this. And it was like, no, we can't. I'm not trying to like dip my toe in the water or get as close to the line as I can. That's playing with fire and you're going to get burnt. So I was like, this is not going to work. I'm running away really fast.
Thank you for showing me that you are not the person I'm going to be with.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a nope.
Yep.
On to the next one.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me, like how sometimes it'll be something as serious as like that, or it'll be something that most people would be like, that's an issue for you. And I'm like, yeah, it is an issue for me. You know what I mean? And it's just so, there's just such a spectrum there. And it's so weird how God can be like, just kidding. Like, he's still not your person. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But you had to get to this conversation to figure that one out.
Yes. Well, and I mean, God's had me on a journey of like, not trying to be picky, but be open-minded, because you really just never know who it's going to be. And Because I feel like a guy's going to walk in and God's going to be like, yeah, that's your person. I'm like, ah, you're funny. What are you talking about? God's going to be like, no, no, this is not necessarily what you want, but this is what you need. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more open-minded. But there are times that I go, okay, is this me being picky or is this me just knowing who I am and say, this is not compatible for me long term?
Exactly. Yeah. I was telling some of the other women so far, like I have been able to look back at like my 22-year-old self and mm-hmm. 20 to 22-year-old self and be like, yeah, no, that guy that I was into back then and like all these things, nope. He would not be it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because me now is not, I mean, I am the same, but you know what I mean? Like I've grown so much more that I'm not the same person that I was freaking 11 years ago, you know? And so it's like, absolutely. God knew what he was doing by getting involved in that situation.
Yes.
You know, because
I've had a lot of almosts that they were just almost what I needed. But they weren't. And so it's just not going to work.
Yep. I've been there too. I have had way too many situationships to count. It's just like, which just makes it sound crazy, but it's not because I'm working it out, right?
I feel like that's what dating is nowadays. There's so many of those and it's hard to avoid, especially when you get to the point you're in your 30s. Mm. You've had a lot of those and you've found out a lot of what you don't want or what definitely will not work for you. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find the ones that will.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. Amen, sister. Like, I'm just like, hey, Lord, you know, can the next one be the last that I have to have all these random conversations with? Like, please.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, like, I will have some of the same conversations, obviously not all of them, but some of the same conversations with, like, potential friends. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I guess I kind of have to remind myself that just because I might be interested in this guy and we're having this conversation doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere past the friendship level.
Yes.
You know, true. So anyway, but the struggle of like finding somebody that's on the same line with, especially waiting for marriage, I feel like that one is probably top at this current moment in my life, but there's some others too. And it's just kind of like, okay, I don't want to say pile of men, but the men options are getting even smaller, you know, and it's just, I'll just keep waiting, Lord.
Yep. Absolutely.
Oh man. But you know, I love the 824 group and like the ability to have some of these conversations with random internet stranger guys, but you know, it's still nice to get a different perspective sometimes. And
it is.
You know, and there's such a vast differences among the guys that are in that group.
That is so true. I feel like it's a good representation of men as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love when the posts come in. So guys, I'm like, oh, what's this one going to be about?
Oh, I always click so that I can get notifications on that because I want to know what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to see all of the different perspectives that come in. Because I think in our minds, it's really easy to think, oh, all guys think the same, but they really don't. Mm-hmm. It's the same way as women. We're all different. We have our own unique personalities and perspectives. And so it's really cool with that group to just hear those perspectives and see that you have the outgoing guys and you have the shy guys and, you know, the jocks and the nerds and, and whatever. And, you know, people from all over the country and a little bit the world. It's just a really cool group that you just get to see things that you wouldn't normally see in mm-hmm. your day-to-day life.
Yep. And I think the community aspect of it, like, while there's obviously disagreements because that's just life, but like the community aspect of it is so beneficial because I've noticed, and you can touch on this if you have any experience with it, but like I've noticed that a lot of churches just do not put the effort in with singles, you know, and So we're all looking for some level of community. And if we can't find it at our church, like what option do we have? You know what I mean? And so I don't know if you have any experience with that, with like your personal church or just in general.
When I actually started at my church, I wanted to join like a Bible study and I thought it would be fun to join like a mixed group. And I don't know if this is still the case because I've been going there for like 10 years. But at the time they didn't have mixed groups unless it was married couples. Yep. And it was like, well, what are we supposed to do then? Just go to a bar to meet other singles? Like, I don't think that's what you want us to do.
Right.
And then within a few years, there was enough of us saying, hey, we're interested in this, that they did a like singles. It wasn't really a Bible study. It was more like a single study where they were talking to us about singleness and kind of touching on how to help you wait well and everything. And, you know, the hardest part with that was that not everyone is going to get out of the season of singleness.
Yeah.
We're not guaranteed marriage. And so it shouldn't be just saying, okay, well, use your singleness to serve God. And this is the only, like, this is the only time that you're just going to have unlimited amounts of time and energy. Mm-hmm. And I do understand that when you get married and have kids, it's totally different and you don't have the flexibility that we do as single people, mm-hmm. but singleness is not a disease and it shouldn't be treated as that. And you can't guarantee that it's just a season.
Yeah.
It could be your whole life. And so I feel like so many churches try to just get us through our singleness, but it's really about finding contentment in our singleness and how to serve God in our singleness, whether it's for a month, a few months, a year, a few years, or the rest of our life.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to find contentment and ways to build community around us so that we have that same, you know, the deep friendships and things that you would find in marriage, mm-hmm. and just try to combat the loneliness that can come with being single. So my church really tried, but it didn't quite get there.
Also same.
Yeah.
I'm just like, we had like a young adults group, basically, and you know, there were a mixture of couples and singles and whatever. And then it kind of, we aged out and then they changed the age. But then at that point, new like college freshmanish age people were coming in and I'm like, I'm too old for that. Like,
yeah,
we're at completely different stages in life. So like, why can't we have like a middle group? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like the 25s and like, or like the 25s to 30s and then like the 30s to even 40s. Like, let's, why yeah. can't we have that? You know, because that's where I'm at right now. And then mm-hmm. the current like situation at my church with young adults is it's literally a bunch of married couples and mm-hmm. like a sprinkling of singles mm-hmm. and like a couple of my family members that I'm like, just kind of like, that's not really my group either. You know, yeah. And so I'm just kind of like, okay, so I'll just find an online group of random internet strangers and see how it goes.
Yeah, if we can't find it, we're going to build it.
Yes, build it and they will come. Okay.
Yeah.
Build the singles groups and the Christian singles will come.
Exactly. Well, you look at, I mean, 824, it wasn't even a year ago that it started.
Right.
And it's already at like 2,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
So that just shows there's a need and there's people who want that community. And it's so hard to build.
Mm-hmm.
So hard to build.
Especially 30 plus. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I was in some other groups last year that are like, we're all age groups, right? Or we're had a lot of younger people. And no judgment to them, but
yes,
also different stages of life. And so, yeah, you know, it was just kind of like this is literally like my church, but online, you know? And so it was kind of like, I need something else. But I got to this point where I was just like so overwhelmed with like all these groups and stuff that I'm like, I'm not being in any. So I wasn't in a group until I think I've been in 824 for just over 2 months now. But from like January till like July-ish. Like I wasn't, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to deal with anything. I had my girl, yeah. I had my girl group and that was it.
You know?
And then ever since I got back into or got into A24, I haven't been in, I wasn't in it before, but got into A24. I'm like, yeah, see, this is the community I needed before.
Yeah. I've only been in it since I think the beginning of August.
Oh, okay. So you're new.
Yeah. And I like instantly was like, yes, these are my people. I like mm-hmm. this a lot.
I love that you're new and you jumped in on this journey with me. That's exciting.
Well, I saw your post about this and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing that I normally wouldn't do. And God's going to make me do it. Okay, well. And so then I messaged my best friend and, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, I know what she's going to say. She's going to say I have to do this, but maybe she'll tell me I don't have to. And then I texted her and immediately in all caps, do it. I was like, yes. Okay, God has said it. The best friend has said it. We're going to do it. We're doing it.
Well, I'm so happy you're doing it.
I'm enjoying it.
I was like so nervous. I'm like, I know I'm in a group of like 2,500 plus people and most of them are women, but I feel like we're not going to make this happen. And then all of a sudden the comments started happening and I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah. You're like, I could have about 2,000 of these podcasts.
Yeah. I'm all like, we might end up doing more than 100. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm not at 100 yet, but you know, I still need about 20-ish women, but I feel like 80 women that happened like so fast. 24 is 30 and up, like yeah. The majority of us are in our 30s and 40s that are going to do this. And so I'm kind of like, I need to find some ladies in their 20s.
Yeah. Get another perspective.
Yeah. Just have a slightly younger perspective. And so I'm kind of like, okay, who can I bug that are younger?
But it's also awesome that you're going to have so many women interviewed that are in their 30s mm-hmm. because I feel like we are a demographic that gets overlooked a lot.
Yes.
Because, you know, per society, once you're in your 30s, you should be married or you should have like this amazing successful career or you should have both. And if you don't have one of those and if you're not just killing it at life, society just kind of deems you not worthy, mm-hmm. which we know is not true. And we know that we have value and we have opinions that are worth something. But people just need to take the time to listen.
Mm-hmm. Girl, you so get on the soapbox.
Yeah, I will.
Seriously, though, it's like I am excited about that aspect of it. I just feel like it's a little bit fair to have, you know, some ladies in their 20s. I interviewed one of my friends last night and she's 28. So that's nice. But she's still closer to 30. And I'm like, I need some young 20 somethings.
Yes.
Like I should start praying about them and just let God bring me who he wants. But, you know, we'll see. I won't complain if I end up with, you know, everybody over 30. Because, again, I agree. We are a little bit overlooked.
Well, and I feel like if it comes down to it, that's what you end up with, then that's obviously what God wanted you to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I tried to find people in their 20s and all I got was women in their 30s.
Yep. I mean, you know, I won't complain about it. Definitely won't. It'll be nice to have another 100 or 99 because I may or may not interview myself. We'll see. And, you know, new friendships because I just feel like I'm going to learn so much from these conversations. So I'm excited about that.
Definitely. Yeah. Because you're going to have 100 new perspectives on all of these same questions, which is so cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what the pie charts look like at the end. Yes. You know, and just to see like these different questions, you know, the how important it is to you, blah, 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 blah. Right. Like to see what that looks like when it's done. Because so far it's really interesting to see. It's pretty split. And I'm like, I wasn't expecting it to be so split yet. So we'll see.
Hey, like really stuck out to me.
Okay, yeah.
There was a question about why do girls use filters and angles and everything? First of all, I want to say to that man, I don't know who hurt you, but I'm sorry. because it was a very aggressive way that he went about that question. And I do want to say that that's not all women, that there are those of us that don't use filters and that don't do extreme angles to like contour our bodies or our faces. Mm-hmm. But also, if this is coming from online dating, you're supposed to be putting your best foot forward. Do you want me to take a picture when I've just gotten out of bed? Like, with my hair sticking everywhere, haven't brushed my teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, you will see that eventually, but that's not going to be my profile picture on an online dating site.
Exactly.
So, or to say, you know, we're going to choose pictures that make us look good, but mm-hmm. at least for me, I'm not choosing pictures that don't represent what I actually look like. I'm not someone who cakes on makeup. Mm-hmm. So there are girls out there that don't do that. And also the ones who do, a lot of it comes from insecurities and hurts that they've had. Mm-hmm. And so instead of judging them, why don't you love on them and make them feel beautiful and feel worth? And, you know, the same should be for guys. Guys deserve that same respect and love and kindness to them. Mm-hmm. So if we could all just, you know, love each other a little bit more and judge each other a little bit less, that would be really nice.
Yes, seriously. I mean, I agree. I know when I saw that question come through, I was like, ooh, this is gonna spark some conversation.
Yeah, the way you worded it, that why wouldn't you just have less dates and be real about the way you look? It was like, okay, well, that's making a lot of assumptions about what would happen. So mm-hmm. I just immediately, like, I think there's a story behind that and maybe some hurt there or some things that need to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yep. I was just like, okay, I can't wait for some of my personal friends to read that question.
Yeah. Some women are going to get hot.
I know, but I also feel like it's something important to talk about because there is a reason that we get hot about that particular line of questioning, you know, especially if we are women who don't do that, you know, and like, I always have a full body photo. I always have one, at least one or two, no makeup photos because I sometimes wear makeup, you know, but, and I also have a picture because this is obviously not my natural hair color, you know, but I also have a picture of me on there with like my natural, even though I will probably never go back to.
Yeah. You're just like, this is who I am.
Yeah. This is my natural hair color. But if you like this, this is how it's going to be. So you better like it. Cause if you don't, then you're probably not my person. You know what I mean? And so, like, I feel like that's a good representation of who I am, though, as far as, like, looks-wise, you know? Mm-hmm. And I am that girl that will ask a guy, like, hey, are you a no-makeup guy or are you a guy who doesn't mind makeup? You know, because I'm not the girl... Well, I have, but I'm not the girl that normally wears, like, fake eyelashes. Nothing against that. If that's you, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, I want to gauge where that guy is at as far as, like, their preference on, you know, makeup. Because the majority of the time, I am a messy bun, no makeup, t-shirt, and leggings kind of girl. You know what I mean? And so that's what you're going to get on the everyday, honey. And, you know, I got to know if you're okay with that. But I also don't mind getting dressed up, doing my makeup, doing my hair, and going out, you know, like there's a range there. And I feel like guys need to hear that.
They do. Well, and I think some, we put pictures out there where we look our best so that we feel our best to have confidence in these conversations with strangers on the internet.
Yes. Also, that is very true.
When you meet a new person, you don't typically go in sweatpants and a messy bun. Like you're going to put some effort and show them that you want to look nice when meeting them. And so to me, it's not really any different than how I would be in person when I meet you. Now, once I get to know you better, you're going to see my everyday look. I'm like, I'm a nanny. I work with children. I am not wearing lots of makeup. I I always say I have my nanny clothes and my weekend clothes because nanny clothes can get ruined by children and all that they come with, all the messes. And then I have my nice clothes that makes me feel like a human being again on the weekend.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can't handle both, you probably can't handle me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. Yeah. I think it got posted in the A24 multiple times, but did you see the meme that's like, if you can't handle me at my judges, you don't get me at my Proverbs 31?
Yes.
And I guess the same thing.
Yes. Okay.
If you can't handle me when I am an emotional mess because I'm on my cycle and I just want chocolate and to watch sappy movies, then you don't get to hang out with me when I'm feeling great and I want to go out and look my best. Okay. It's just because that's real life, you know?
Yes, that is reality for a woman. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if you're wanting to get married, it's not going to get better because if you want to have kids, you're going to get fewer and fewer days with makeup and nice clothes. You are just going to get the sweatpants covered in spit up, whatever. Food was thrown at you that day. Like, mm-hmm. that's just reality. Mm-hmm. So you've got to love us at both options.
Yep. And I'm just going to throw this out there too, guys. Like, if you can't love us in those moments, let me rewind. I'm going to throw this out there that we just want to know that you can love us in those moments when we don't look our best. That is the biggest thing, you know, and we, especially on days where if we are a mom and, you know, we have all this going on and we know that you had a hard day at work, but will you just tell us we look beautiful? Like, that's not that hard.
Yes. Like that will melt a woman's heart if she is in sweatpants and a messy bun and you tell her genuinely, not just saying this to get points, but you actually think she's beautiful and you say it.
Yeah.
That is going to melt her heart. And that's going to be the biggest compliment and most meaningful compliment she's gotten that day, that week, that month, maybe even that year.
Yeah. Yep.
Like that's what we want to hear. We want to be desired when we're wearing the stilettos and the makeup and when we're in the sweatpants and need to brush our teeth.
Exactly. Because let's be honest.
We need to do a better job of telling men the same, whether they are dressed down or dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
It goes both ways. They need the compliments too.
Mm-hmm. They do. I mean, statistically speaking, this is like my understanding of it. More of guys are going to have the love language of words of affirmation, mm-hmm. even if they don't realize it.
Yes.
And like, that is so important to also show love in that way to your man and just being like, damn, you look real good today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
my breath away in those basketball shorts.
Like, yeah. I actually like side note, I actually like a guy in basketball shorts.
So do I. I think that might be the new gray sweatpants.
Oh, girl. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will still love the gray sweatpants forever. But
now all the A24 guys need to take note. Be like, okay, so Tiffany and Nicole, sweatpants and basketball shorts. We know how to win them over.
You know, and maybe an occasional clavicle picture.
Occasional. Don't want to be scandalous.
Don't want to be scandalous. Just an occasional. Occasional one. And if you're not in the 824 group and you're listening to this, you should get into the 824 group so you can figure out what we mean by that.
Yeah. I figured it out really fast after joining the group.
Yup. You came in right in the midst of it all because you came in at the like still midsummer, right? And so like it's been a thing.
So funny.
I'm not mad about it though. I'm not mad about it. It didn't bother me one bit. Mm-hmm. But no judgment to the ladies that it bothered. Like, I get it.
Yes.
We each have our levels of things. And I totally understand that. Just was not a problem for me personally.
Yes.
Oh man, good times.
Yes.
You know that if you can't laugh about life though, like
what's the point?
You have to be able to laugh about it. Like, not everything is so serious. And, you know, that's another point to guys too. Like, not everything is so serious. For me personally, if you can't make me laugh, I'm probably not going to find you attractive.
Absolutely. Yeah. The way to win my heart is to make me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Obviously, we've been laughing a lot.
Yeah. There just needs to be balance, you know?
Yeah.
You need to have laughter and you need to have serious conversation with depth and vulnerability. Like, that's so important. But if you can't have laughter too, I just don't think you have a solid relationship, because there are so many moments in life where it's just so difficult and you just want to cry. And the most healing thing for you is laughter.
Mm-hmm.
So bring the dad jokes, make me laugh. I am all about it.
Okay. Anybody that's listening to this particular episode, find me on social media and send me all of your dad jokes, because I want to share them now.
I actually started a Facebook chat group with some friends and I call it dad jokes. And all we do is send dad jokes to each other.
I need that in my life. That is awesome.
I will add you to it.
Okay.
It's only two of us, but it's fantastic. And it's good, clean jokes that are cheesy and just bring joy to the everyday.
Yes, I need that in my life. Definitely. I will join that. That's awesome. Oh man, dad jokes are like seriously the best. When I was younger, I hated them, but now I'm like, yep, I need dad jokes in my life.
Yes. I've always loved dad jokes. I think because my dad is the king of dad jokes.
Oh yeah. So
I grew up with that constant. And so I just love it.
I mean, my dad is pretty good at dad jokes too. And it's just kind of like, okay, but you know. Sometimes it's like, come on, dad.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't get a good eye roll, then it's not like super solid dad joke.
Yes, that is very accurate. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany. Inside.